Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Amy Barton.
And I'm Trace Kerr. And today we are going to be talking about everything you never knew you wanted to know about pets. So, Amy, I'm going to lead off talking about some history.
Excellent.
Just a little bit. People have trouble figuring out just how long we've been keeping animals. In Mesopotamia, dogs that look like modern mastiffs are showing up in lion hunts in drawings. And
a long time ago.
Ancient Egypt, they have drawings of hunting dogs and lap dogs. And then also people keeping lions, hyenas, monkeys, and the Nile goose as pets.
Wow.
Yeah. And cats showed up a little later. Dogs were on the pet train a lot earlier than cats were. That's not a surprise.
No, I would say cats are borderline pets anyway. They live with us and eat our food, but they're more like your couch squatting crazy uncle.
That you just can't get rid of.
Yeah.
And then horses show up by 2000 BCE, used in chariot battles throughout the Middle East. But one thing I found interesting about pet history, speaking of dogs specifically, dogs seem to have been domesticated twice from two different wolf lines in Europe. There's evidence from about 16,000 years ago, and in Asia from about 14,000 years ago. So dogs have been with us for a long time. And I think you had a story about dogs, didn't you?
I do. I have a really great story about dogs. I was poking around on the internet and saw the story of Ludivine. She's a 2.5-year-old bloodhound, Canadian bloodhound. Yay. Boot. Those are my Canadian words.
Sorry, Canada.
We do love you, Canada. Her owner, April Hamlin, tells the story of how she must live on the racetrack of the Elkmont Trackless Train Half Marathon in Canada, let Ludivine out to go potty right around the time the event was starting. Ludivine hopped or snuck out the fence and joined the half marathon. And so usually dog gets away from home, loses interest, comes back. Most of us, your dog goes 2 or 3 blocks, comes home. Ludivine stayed the course of the entire half marathon. She
ran 13 miles.
She did. And the owner says she's kind of a lazy dog.
Oh, no.
Normally. And so I can't imagine how her little paws must have been after that race.
Oh, yeah.
But she stayed with the front runners and did take a couple of detours, like to sniff a dead rabbit and go visit a herd of cows. She must have had quite the day, but stayed with the front pack and came in 7th. And was awarded a finisher's medal.
Yes!
Isn't that, that's my favorite pet story. I try not to blast social media with all the animal stories, but that one, I love that one very much.
That's adorable.
Mm-hmm. Ludivine, the half marathon runner.
Well, if you're not really into running half marathons with dogs, but you want to hang out with pets that don't belong to you, you need to go to Japan because they have animal cafes. Now, there is some controversy around animal cafes because some of them aren't taking great care of their animals. Mm-hmm. The ones that I was looking at are ones that have been, they're like the number one A+ Better Business Bureau style animal cafes. So Tokyo is tops for this type of dining experience. It started with cat cafes. So imagine, you know, a coffee shop and there's all these cats and you can pet them and enjoy them.
And do you eat and then go see them, or do you eat and they're there?
Some places, it depends on the animals. They could be around the tables with you.
Fine.
Other places like the Chiku Chiku Cafe, that's hedgehogs.
What?
Mm-hmm. You can feed, touch, and take photos with the hedgehogs. That seemed to keep the people food and the hedgehogs separate.
I feel like that's a good plan.
Yeah. There are dog cafes and cat cafes, but the one that I absolutely love, you can follow them on Instagram, and I've put a link in the show notes, is the Ikefukuru Cafe. That's owls.
Really?
It's so amazing. They've got perches, and there are fluffy owls and horned owls and all sorts of different ones. You can pick them up and carry them around on your arm. You can pet them.
Wow. So they're definitely, they're cool with people, the ones that get to be.
Totally cool
wow.
with people. Yes.
If you're a bird person, that would be terrific. I'm not totally sure I'm a bird person. I would like to watch other people do that.
Well, you could just sit and
I'm a bird voyeur
from a distance, you know. You could sit at the far table and sip your tea and watch the owls.
Wow.
So cool. Oh, there's also the Mi Pig Cafe that has mini pigs. There's another one that has two goats, but they're very specific about how you're not allowed to touch the goats.
You can see them, but not touch them?
You just let them wander around.
I'd like to touch them. I know. I'm cool with that. That's my favorite part of the fair is the pygmy goats and the goats.
And the touching, the petting zoo. I know.
Yep.
Spokane County Fair. So good.
Mm-hmm.
No sponsorship. The and the last one I want to talk about is the Penguin Cafe at the Sumida Aquarium.
No
way. You can watch them swim and waddle and eat fish. There's no fish. There's no touching.
Still great.
But it showed people like behind a metal railing and the penguins were just walking by doing their thing.
That would be so great. Wouldn't you? I would totally visit. I would buy the yearly zoo pass if they had an otter cafe.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely.
Would you like to talk about mutations in pets? Who doesn't love to talk about? They're like the ex-pets. This is not going to be as exciting as that sounds. Well, my son Will adores all animals and cats so much. And he's told me tortoiseshell cat facts repeatedly.
Oh.
I'm finally sharing with you guys. He is super into tortoiseshells and they're not a breed. Lots of breeds can be tortoiseshell. And so when they say tortoiseshell, you can see them in lots of colors. You see usually like a black brown or a black and tan, but they can be orange and like creamy colored, but they have a tortoiseshell kind of pattern in their fur. They are splotchy.
Like like a crazy quilt.
Yes, but it looks like of the vaguely sort of those square rhombus-y shapes that turtles have on their shells. Anyway, tortoiseshell cats, how does that happen? It is mainly a girl cat thing. Mostly boy cats are not tortoiseshell. They're very rare. About 1 in 3,000 tortoiseshell cats are male. And the reason for that and the way we get tortoiseshell cats, and it's because girl cats are XX, boy cats are XY. So to get that coloring, that's from the X chromosome. And so girls are more likely to have more combinations because they've got two X's. So they can have two dominants, two recessives, a dominant and a recessive. So that combination of a dominant and a recessive, or that weird combination, is what that tortoiseshell results in. But with a male cat, you have XY. There's only the possibility of that one X having the color. So what we have when you see a male tortoiseshell is XXY. And so the other thing that's very special, and it's a weird, really unusual, is most male tortoiseshell cats are sterile.
Because they're XXY.
Yeah. So those are Will's tortoiseshell cat facts. And he's been telling me about scaleless snakes, and it's a very similar the way it happens. And those are super cool. Scaleless snakes, they can be scaleless from the belly down, or they can be the back up. One article said that they usually have some scales on their belly, but it's basically the same process that results in a scaleless snake. But the pictures of them, it looks like you've tattooed somebody's arm with the snake pattern. But they don't have any scales. They just have that snake pattern. And it looks like crepey old lady skin, kind of.
Ooh.
They're quite amazing. And survival rates in the wild are a little hard to determine, but it seems like they survive okay.
Yeah, because they'd be like giant gummy worm snacks. I mean, there's no protection at all.
No. So there's probably a little bit more danger from predators. But you see ball pythons, gopher snakes, corn snakes, garter snakes. They were not discovered until 1942, actually. So they're a relatively new discovery, maybe because it's difficult to survive with that crepey
old lady skin.
Mm-hmm.
I got some of that myself.
Likewise. I'm like, oh, that looks okay. I recognize that.
Lotion.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. Let's keep on with the science theme. I want to share with you. There's been a lot of study into dogs and reactions to human speech and gestures. You know, dogs will look where you point and things like that. But cats, not so much. So the study was done in Japan on two groups, cats as pets, like in the home, and cats in cat cafes.
Oh, okay.
So they went into homes with cats and they used four words that are similar to the cat's name.
Mm-hmm.
So if the cat's name is Jack, you'd start with smack and fact and, you know, and say those four words. And then the fifth word would be Jack, the cat's name. And they were videotaping this and they had people looking for reactions. So ears moving or head moving or meowing or something like that. 9 out of 11 cats seemed to recognize their name.
But pretended to ignore you? Like you got an ear twitch?
You could just have an ear twitch. They might not have much of a reaction. And then, yeah, and what I liked about the cats in the cafes, so there might be 15 or 20 cats in a cat cafe, and they would respond to anything. Because, you know, you got lots of people coming in, and even though they have pictures with their names, you might be calling Joe, Bob, or, you know, something like that. And so the cats are like, eh, it's a name.
And they use their pretty food voice.
Yeah. All right, fine.
Yeah. Do they have the cat version of reactive attachment disorder then? Like, they'll go to everybody.
Pretty much, yeah. The study did show that they do seem to recognize their names, and they can differentiate being having their name called from an owner versus a stranger.
Oh,
they're,
sure.
They're more likely to react if the owner calls their name. And then they were kind of wondering, so I said 9 out of 11 cats responded. They think that possibly the cats that don't respond, it's because their names are sometimes called when they get in trouble.
Oh, yes.
You know how you find a mess and you're like, ah, cat's name. And cat knows that that's not good. And so they just are like, I don't want to deal with that.
They're going to wait and see what happens. And then they'll come find out if that was your pretty food voice or your.
Yes. Or I pulled all the toilet paper off the toilet roll voice. I don't have any cats that do that. Although I did have one once that bit it.
Oh,
so it looked like, you know, it just had these perforations through it. I was like, really?
Just testing out the texture.
A little bit, dry? Why?
Most of the time, I do not have reason to yell at our cats, but Shelby did bring in a mostly dead bird that had time to revive. There was yelling that day. She didn't stick around on the scene to find out what went down. She thought she'd killed it and brought it to my daughter's bed.
It's a gift.
Yes.
It was a gift.
Yep.
Let's talk about animal gifts that cost a lot of money or that are kind of wild and fancy, because
like
we both researched this.
Nail polish. I found, okay, did you know that pets can, cats in particular, can have whisker stress?
What?
There are whisker stress-free bowls. And this totally makes sense once I thought about it. Like if you just dump your cat's food into a deep bowl, their whiskers bump the bowl.
Oh.
And they're sensitive. And so really what they've done is put the food on a plate and they call it a whisker stress-free cat bowl.
Oh,
that's some good marketing.
That is good marketing. I mean, I have my cat food on plates. I didn't realize I was eliminating whisker stress.
That's right.
I feel like that's an infomercial. You'd see it like 2:30 in the morning.
I know this looks like a plate, folks, but it is not.
No.
This is high tech.
Oh, yeah.
It is on a little platform, which makes it special. So whisker stress-free bowls.
See, you went practical. I was looking at things like stainless steel water fountains that look like something you'd see.
I was trying to find
that. You know, at a museum. Or the diamond dog tiara.
Yeah.
Or the bacon-flavored bubble machine, which was so adorable because they had a corgi who looked like he was higher than a kite.
He probably was.
All these little bubbles, and he was like, wee, bacon bubbles. Yeah, it was super cute.
Awesome. I did find a bamboo pet hammock, which
Ooh.
I loved. My friend Jody has a dog bed, a camping dog bed for her dog. But that just seems kind of nice because they don't have to lay in the dirt on the rocks. And
yeah, especially since every time I've camped with a 70 to 80 pound chocolate lab, depending on what time of year it is, she usually lays on my sleeping bag.
Yes.
That's a lot of dog to be sleeping on your sleeping bag.
A lot of smelly, potentially wet dog. I've seen dog car seats, which are basically soft seats with little harnesses in them.
Yeah, which the seatbelt is not a bad idea. And then, okay, can we talk for a moment about pet strollers?
Please, let's.
Okay. Don't at me. If you've got an elderly dog or an injured dog, I'm totally down with that. But I don't know. You've got this super swanky. I mean, some of these strollers are nicer than the strollers I bought for my children.
For sure.
And there's this little, he probably has the dog tiara riding in the stroller.
In their little doggy North Face coats.
I don't know. I don't know.
I did see a man with a collie on a leash and a collie in a front pack. And I thought, old dog gets to go out too.
Oh, that's
true. I'm cool with that. But Sweetum's in her jacket and in the stroller. I don't understand.
Well, but you know what's so it makes me feel like you and I need to get involved in the pet industry because in 2017, a survey by the American Pet Products Association, Americans spent almost $70 billion on pet stuff.
Wow.
$70 billion.
We clearly lack vision.
we could do so much with that. I mean, not that animals don't enjoy all the things we do for them, but wow.
But if you're looking for a companion to go on walks with you, an animal with 5-inch legs might not be the animal to choose. That might be your house pet.
Yeah. Well, that's the one that's in the $850 leather purse to carry your small friend with you,
that's
which
true.
I find the leather purse to be a little ironic,
yes!
But we're just going to let that go. No judgment. No judgment.
Okay, do you want to hear my favorite thing that I found?
Yes.
In pet trends?
Bring it on.
Spaying and neutering your pets is a humane thing to do if you don't want your pet to reproduce and have unfortunate consequences. But the pet industry has decided that maybe your boy dog feels a little uncomfortable with his lack of masculinity.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Nudicles. Plastic surgery for your dog so that they can feel like they have a robust manhood still. I'm not sure if we can play this one, folks, but it made me so happy.
I think we can because there I've seen something worse than that.
Oh, really?
It involves glitter and your male dog. That's all I'm going to say. Do what you need to do on Google. I'm just telling you. You'll be surprised. And I've seen this plastic insert thing, and yeah. I'm troubled by it. For many reasons. I mean, really, because this is not about the dog.
No.
This is about you compensating for something.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep. We love our pets.
I think we just need to leave it at that.
Yeah. I feel like that's a good show ender. You want to hear more?
We're on Facebook and Instagram as Brain Junk Podcast. And you can find us on Twitter as @MyBrainJunk. Amy and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know. And I guarantee you will not be bored.
Maybe a little overinformed, but not bored.